teaching that we go through, the spirituality.
Okay, and the last two words, she's gone now forever.
Spirituality of aging. You know,
okay,
we have so much on the exterior part of aging, but the interior part of it, you know, that whole aspect of how do we deal with it interiorly as well as exteriorly. Yeah.
Okay, and we'll talk about your complaint, which is that there's not enough discussion of life's impermanence and what that means. What does life's impermanence mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what the only thing to know, and I think Stuart told you, is at the end of each segment, they start to play music. I know when that's going to play and you don't, okay?
Okay.
So
what
I generally do when I see it's like 1 minute or so, I may even cut you off and do a tease on the next section.
But
if anything happens and you happen to hear music, just finish your sentence and I'll be fine. Okay?
Sure.
All right.
Okay.
Stuart, we are ready. He has to test the music for a second. And where are you? You're in the Midwest?
I live in
you
Illinois.
And I. Right.
In Iowa.
Okay, he tested the music. We're good. Now we have to be quiet.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg. This is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. The Fountain of Truth about aging. And I have to tell you, before I introduce to you my guest, I want you to know that it really does pay to concentrate on successful aging. I had the most wonderful 17 days in Egypt, and the way I did that was different from my colleagues. I was up very early in the morning. I was going daily to incredible places, Luxor, ballooning over the Valley of the Kings, hiking, meeting new people, eating a little bit dicey foods, I must admit, but enjoying every minute of it. Looking at comparative religion, three religions coming together all in one place. Being intrepid, occasionally going into the desert with an armed guard. Now, I'll tell you something. When I was 30, I don't think I could have done that. I don't think I would have had the energy. I don't think I would have had the spirit. I think I would have been too afraid, etc., etc. This takes some cultivation. You don't wake up in the morning and feel great every single morning. It just doesn't happen. You have to cultivate the love of your aging. And today I'm getting a little bit overboard because I have somebody with me. Her name is Joyce Rupp. She is not only a master's of, and we're going to talk about what this means, transpersonal psychology. She has retreats throughout North America, Europe, Asia, Africa, Australia, New Zealand. But she is a deeply religious person. She has her own views about that. She also has a master's in religious education, and she's an author. Author of many, many books. We'll be speaking about them and how to find them. But issues of spiritual aging are often swept under the rug. And I have to tell you that going to a place like Egypt, where there are deep conflicts, extremely deep conflicts, some of them are religious conflicts, some of them are political. Most of them, honestly, having been there, are economic. What else is new? But people also have a tremendous amount of spirituality and love. And if you close your eyes to it, you'll never see it. If you open your eyes to it, it is there so easily accessible to you that it makes your life much more informed. So we're going to talk about how to do that, how to talk about spirituality through your own inner voice, and then bring it out to the world. Thank you for being with us, Joyce.
Well, hello to you, Adrienne. I'm so glad to be with you today.
Yeah, and we're going to delve very deeply into this for a moment. I mean, one of the things I said during our little pre-talk was I was going to ask you eventually about your complaint that we don't look at life's impermanence enough. But In thinking about it for the minute, I think I'm going to start with that. Spirituality really requires that people concentrate and focus on that too. Why don't they, and is it because we feel invulnerable? What's your take on this?
Oh, you know, I'm a Roman Catholic nun. I also, my views are grounded in that, but much, much bigger than that, I would say. And, you know, I spent 2 years in graduate study at a Buddhist university, and of course, Buddhism looks so much at impermanence, and I learned so much about that. And, I mean, that is, it's just a reality. It's a part of life. Life is always changing. We are always changing. And I think of, you know, Gail Godwin in one of her novel, The Finishing School, she talks about two kinds of people. One kind are the people who congeal, and she says, you know, they're kind of like jelly. They never, they just kind of stop. And other people are fluid, and they keep growing. You know, they keep moving. They go with the flow. And I just think there's such a fear of our mortality. And our culture doesn't help at all because, you know, our culture is so youth-oriented, and you do everything you possibly can to, you know, deny the fact that you really are aging and you're moving toward your own death, and life is impermanent. But so it's how to come to a sense of equanimity about that without becoming, you know, morose or full of self-pity or, you know, very negative, but really love life and live it to the fullest at the same time as accepting that aspect of impermanence. So,
absolutely true. And we talked about it yesterday. I was with a client of mine. I'm a financial gerontologist. Most of my listeners know that. And he said, you know, he doesn't care about money. Well, that's easy to say because he has a lot of it. But he cares about time. And he had just turned 70 also. He doesn't care about money. He cares about time. And he said, this is the time to embrace. And it's a very easy thing to say, and then the world comes on you for the day, and you forget about it. And, you know, one of the things that we do, and I want to talk about this aspect of you being a nun and the religious view, is we do ritualized religion. We go to a place. And believe me, in Egypt, half the tourism tours are this monastery, this mosque. You know, Jews are not as welcome, but there are very, very important Jewish establishments there, so you go see that. It's almost like a tour. You know, it's like, look, the Hollywood, go see the stars in Hollywood. It's the same thing on these religious buildings.
Yeah.
And doesn't seem to do enough good. So I'm very interested in the way you look at aging and spirituality. Is it the same or different than aging and religion?
Yeah, I think it's very different. First of all, I wish I could have been with you in Egypt because that's the way I would love to have done Egypt, the way that you describe it. You know, when I talk about elderhood, you know, I think there's a whole area of the external part of elderhood, and it's really vital that we pay attention to that. You know, all the things from financial planning to, you know, retirement, medical directives, all that sort of thing. But I think the big missing piece is the interior part of us. How do we relate to the exterior aspect of our life? And, you know, I spoke at a conference late July this year, a conference on aging, and I had not really put together all of this until that time, and I realized that, you know, what we really need in this country is a school of elderhood to teach people how to become old. And what I mean by that is, how do we go within ourselves, and how do we process what's happening? You know, like the not just physical diminishment or the lessening of energy or health issues, but what about our fears? What about our loneliness? What about our views of what's going to happen to us when we die? And I think those are things that are much less readily spoken about. And how do I find meaning in what is happening exteriorly, all the positive kinds of things, too? And so,
and the
you know, if I...
that we can make.
Yes, and the giftedness and the wisdom that people are bringing and the perspective and how people have learned to be at peace with themselves. How have they, you know, have they found harmony within themselves? And then how do we share that? How do we become really honest and clear and, you know, open about who we are and no more cover-ups, none of that sort of thing. And I think
we cover up, I think, a lot because we don't want to make other people uncomfortable. In the same setting as yesterday, we were talking about this gentleman's will, and he's going to do a video will. And he said, mm-hmm. People don't talk about that here. He said mm-hmm. it right out. They don't mm-hmm. talk about it. There's very few places I can go to speak about it. So I do want to tell everybody that Joyce Rupp is a triple threat, maybe quadruple threat with her retreats, with her service for Servants of Mary, a community that, and she's been a volunteer at hospice. We're going to talk about volunteerism and how that can inform your life. She's also an author. And if I had a longer show, I could list all of her books. But Praying Our Goodbyes, Open the Door, Fragments of Your Ancient Name, Fly While You Still Have Wings, my favorite title. And she talks a great deal, too, about her mother's passing and how she deals with that. Fresh Bread and Other Gifts of Spiritual Nourishment was her very first book. So for all those, I want you to know the name Rupp, R-U-P-P. You can go to Amazon. And you really can be illuminated by a lot of her writing. So after our short show, that's a great takeaway. When we come back, you'll also be able to access her website, where she has a lot of resources. But for now, I want to give you what I call the setup before we have to go into our next pay the bills, as they usually say on radio, and go into our next session. We're going to be talking about how you can manage things like true giving, true volunteering, not just to be able to say to somebody, oh, I'm retired and I'm busy. I know you want to tell people you're busy. That's the American way. But how about busy at something that fulfills you spiritually as well as helps other people? We'll be talking about how to do that, talking about some of these retreats, what happens at the retreats. Some people want to know the inside story of this because they're fascinated by it, but they're not quite sure of what happens for spiritual awakening and change. We are a spiritual being, and we begin to feel it very often only as we age. It's called gerotranscendence. Big word, bigger concept. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Okay, so we're going to go right in because this is just the way it should go, mm-hmm. kind of flow.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to talk about your take on how we can maybe use our wisdom, our talents, become more spiritual through giving and volunteering in your experience because hospice is a very tough thing. That 75-year-old I mentioned, she's been volunteering 6 years in hospice. I could not do that, I feel, for the reasons you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And then we could talk a bit also about your mom, okay?
Right. Yeah, I just wanted to finish up on our last conversation, the whole thing about being honest and people being uncomfortable and mentioning the gentleman and talking about wills and that. And I just remember, in my memoir that I wrote about my mother, Fly While You Still Have Wings, one of the hardest things was listening to my mother. My mother was so honest and upfront about her will, about her approach to death, of talking about that, and every time she did, I knew I had to listen, but I kind of cringed inside, about that. So I think it's so vital.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we will start.
It's vital for us to listen
cut,
to that.
Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't want to cut you off, but we must get back on the air, and we'll start with that. I'll give you the setup.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sue, go ahead. Yes.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, 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 this is Adrienne Berg,
hello.
And I'm here with a wonderful guest, Joyce Rupp, and she is with us for many reasons, actually. This is a multi-layered talent, so to speak. She's a transpersonal psychology. She has a master's in that. She is a Catholic nun. She holds retreats all over the world. She's an author of many books, the latest of which has a lot to do with her mother and her mother's passing, Fly While You Still Have Wings. And she wanted to make sure that she got a message out to you guys right away in this segment of our show. And that is about how hard it really is to listen to somebody else when you love them and they may be in pain or they're talking about death or anything that's uncomfortable to you. So tell us about your journey, Joyce, on that one.
Thanks, Adrienne. Well, you know, I remember sitting at the table with my mother. I was there at home visiting her, and I think she was probably about 78 at the time, maybe closer to 80. And she started talking to me about how, you know, she had gone to the funeral home. She'd made all the arrangements for a funeral, but you know, got her casket and everything. And I remember just being appalled and thinking, oh, I don't want to hear about this. You know, I don't want to think about your dying. But I also knew I had to really listen to her and to thank her for doing that. And so I did that, even though my gut was like churning. I thought, oh, no, I don't want this. And I think that's just one of the best gifts we can give to people is when they're ready, if they're ready to talk about it, not to push them into it, but to really listen and to listen as fully as we can, give them that room, you know, to speak about what is going on in the interior life. So
that was an important thing that you were able to do, and I just want to emphasize, we get pretty personal on this show. I didn't do it. Mm-hmm. I want everybody to know I didn't do it. And I regret it all my life. My mom passed when she was 92, and she tried to talk to me about this. She did. Mm-hmm. She tried.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked me even once if I thought she would see her mother after she died. I could not take the conversation. I couldn't take it, and it was very difficult for me. So I did something happy or peppy or stupid or jokey or whatever it was, and moved on, we'll say.
Yeah,
I regret one of the many things. Believe me, it's on a very long list of regrets, but it's on the list.
You know, I have a whole chapter on regrets in that book because I think most all of us have regrets, and I really struggled with how to come to my regrets. I had a great relationship with my mother, but I had so many regrets after she died, and it took me 10 years to be at peace with those regrets. So I hear you on that. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, now is this something that we'll be able to read about in Fly While You Still Have Wings?
Yes.
So then that's an Amazon book. And what is your website for the resources that you have?
My website's just my name, joycerupp.com.
And it's RUPP. All right, so
so
in this case, we're beginning to see already that spirituality has something to do with ritualized religion for some people, but it isn't a deal point. Is a lot,
and even
if you do that ritualized religion, that isn't all there is either. So it's true for everybody on all sides of the fence. And some people do need instructions or to get started on their journeys, and they do that through retreats. So it's one of the ways, and you're a leader there. So explain to people what that's all about.
Well, you know, first, I think that spirituality, I love Evelyn Underhill's definition of spirituality. She was an English mystic. She was a married woman with, I think, 5 children, lived in, I think, early 20th century. And she says the spiritual life is simply life in which all that we do comes from the center. So I see spirituality different from organized religion. I mean, it can be a foundation for it and so on, but spirituality is really about the inner life of the person. And, you know, in my case, certainly in relation to the divine, but it can be so varied with many people. But when people come to the retreats that I give, I have people of no religion, of strong religion, you know, strong foundation. And I just want to respect all of that. But I try to go beneath that and help people find meaning in their life. Like, what do you believe, and what gives you value, and what do you struggle with? Like, one of the retreats I just finished up in Wisconsin, I named it Coming Out of Exile. And I first talked about, you know, what is it like for people in the world today, socially, culturally, to be in exile. And then, you know, I went to the Jewish scriptures and what was it for people to be in exile. And then I went psychologically into that. What does it mean to have a sense of something missing in our life? And I talked about myself, first of all, as an example. When I was in my early 50s, I studied transpersonal psychology, and part of that was to have a Jungian therapist for those 2 years, and I was so glad for that because I discovered that I really was missing the feminine part of myself. My dad was such a patriarchal person, and I was living so much out of the masculine, which wasn't a bad thing, you know. I was very organized, very focused, but I was also very determined to be right and have everything go my way and planning it all. And I realized, wow, you know, I'm missing that feminine part, which is the yin part of us, you know, to be with uncertainty, to be more relational, to be comfortable with not knowing, and to be more intuitive, to trust the intuitive and not just the rational. It was such a big turning point. That was 25 years ago. And so I called that out of exile. I didn't even know it was an exile, actually, until I started having these dreams that brought me there. And so, you know, that's when I offer a retreat, I just invite people, will you go within yourself, you know, overcome your fears of doing that? Because a lot of people are afraid, what will I find or what I won't find when I go within? And connect that inner life to the outer life. That's really what transpersonal psychology is about, you know, the mind and the heart.
Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful to be able to do it in a setting. And mm-hmm. what you just heard is a journey, an internal journey that is difficult to take on your own. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I'm all for retreats. I'm doing 2 shows today. I tell everybody everything. Joyce, whatever's on my mind is out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing 2 shows today, and then I'm going to 2 hours of meditation. That's the way I get what I do for my
mm-hmm.
life. But I have to tell you, if mm-hmm. I didn't have that group that I mm-hmm. went to, at a certain hour mm-hmm. every single week, it wouldn't mm-hmm. happen. I would promise
yeah.
myself I'm going to the gym or meditation
mm-hmm.
or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but it wouldn't
mm-hmm.
happen. And that's why I do mm-hmm. find that it's important. If there's retreat information at joycerupp.com, if you feel you need the helping hand in these wonderful settings that she sets up, sometimes you need that guidance to kickstart almost anything
mm-hmm.
You would do,
mm-hmm.
but spirituality is another thing. I never
mm-hmm.
have heard about successful aging until I started to use the
yeah.
phrase, and everybody
yeah.
said, sure,
mm-hmm.
we're all into it. Well,
mm-hmm.
if you're into
mm-hmm.
it, then you have to do certain things about it. And we come back,
right.
we'll talk about some of those things that you can do. One of them,
you may think
major
that
one,
I'm
is volunteering,
it,
and how that will
that
change your
doesn't
life.
Bother me,
we'll be right
not
back.
Even a bit, 'cause I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate. For my age, da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da.
Okay, by the way, when is the next retreat? Now we're off the air, so I could just ask. When is your next retreat?
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to do many retreats next year at all because I just want a more contemplative life. So my next
okay.
retreat is in Bon Secours, Maryland. It's full, and my one in Canada is full that's coming up. So there's really no room for retreats
okay.
right now. And next year, just a few of them. But I want to talk about a couple of books people can use with groups that will support them that are retreat
oh.
books.
Good. So we'll do that, and then we'll go into the area of volunteering. Because
okay,
we do
good.
Get a lot of questions on that. You'll see. Mm-hmm. Yes, we'll start with
yeah.
that one, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sue, we are ready.
You may think that I'm full of it. Doesn't bother me, not even a bit, 'cause I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is our syndicated radio show on successful aging. Generation Bold. That's who we are. As we grow old, we become bold. My daughter made that one up when she was about 15. And my subtitle is The Fountain of Truth, because we have been talking today with Joyce Rupp. She is not only a Catholic nun, she's a prolific author and a real guider of others. And she uses the word elderhood. She speaks all over on aging, what I would call successful aging, and the journey within. And I'll tell you that she's also very practical. She gave us a story about her own journey, seeing that she was a little too masculine, coming from that part of her because of her dad. She was very organized. But let me tell you something. This woman is still extremely practical, if you want to put that on the male side. I'm not so sure. Because during our break, she said, you know what? Not everybody can go to a retreat, and not everybody can fly to Asia, you know, to learn about their own personal journey. Maybe they should just read a book. And I have a lot of books that are great for groups, and I want to make sure everybody knows about them. So, Joyce, thank you for taking us from the world of elusive spirituality, concrete. Let's get it done. So tell us about these books.
Adrian, you're great. It's really true. You know, so many people cannot get to a retreat for a variety of reasons. And so a number of years ago, I thought, you know, I'm going to create some books where people can have the support of a group, which you mentioned before, which I think is so vital. And they can also grow spiritually. And I can't tell you how many people have written to me about how grateful they are for that. But the first book I did on that was called The Cup of Our Life. And I had people take, you know, the cup is such a common symbol, archetypal symbol for us. And I have them pray with a reflect on a cup all the way through. All of my books are like for 6 weeks, you know, so you can meet every week or you can meet 1 week a month, however you want to do it. So I have a short essay every day, some questions for reflection, and, you know, ways that they can process it alone or with a group. And so then I did Open the Door, which was more on the whole thing of liberating our heart, really transformative journey. And then the last book I did on that is called Boundless Compassion. And that book is just flying off the shelves. I'm so grateful. And it's really the program that I co-direct. I have done this for about a dozen years now, of teaching people how to be compassionate, you know, and self-compassion, which I think is so vital for everyone, and particularly for people in elderhood. And so it's got everything lined up. People can do it alone. They can do it with groups. Most often they'll do it with other people. So I just get so excited about that, and I love designing that kind of a book for people, a usable book, so to speak. So,
I think that's wonderful. And the resources will be on joycerup.com, and the books on Amazon?
Yes, everything's on Amazon. Mm-hmm.
That's the point. Thank heaven for that. It really does make us
lot
easier.
Isn't that? Right.
It really does. So, and again, I just repeat, because I think you're going to want to read those books. I will. I know your other books, but it's interesting that the idea of compassion. Mm. My personal present journey after 10 years of avoiding it, 10 years of avoiding it, my friend, is self-forgiveness.
Wow.
It ain't easy.
There you are.
It's really hard.
And that is self-compassion, yeah.
It really, and I could have it for other people, but I have a lot of trouble with it for myself. And I don't know why, but we'll figure it out. And I will read that book personally. So I just want everybody to know that this show is being listened to many people. I have a wonderful blog. We just started it. We have 30,000 followers on our blog, and it's called Aging for Beginners. But you should know that I'm not the expert. I'm also the beginner. And I actually do what my guests suggest, and I pick them. 90% because you need them, but remember, 10% because I do. So, absolutely true. And that may be a lie. It may be the other way around. 10% for you, 90% for me. But that is an important book for me personally. And if any of these books resonated with you, just go to Amazon.com. Now, I want to talk about volunteering. Volunteer is a touchy subject. You get older, you want to tell everybody you do this, that, and the other thing. You want to show up on social pages, you gave money. And then you go with all your heart, a big full heart, to do this, as well as the fact that you hope it will give you what work never did, which is a lot of juice and inspiration. And then you end up licking envelopes in the back of the room because you're older.
Yeah.
And they, you know. So, mm-hmm. But you have been a very successful volunteer, and you've seen mm-hmm. many successful volunteers. So give us your thoughts on that.
Oh, you know, first of all, I think there's a whole thing of balance. I've known, just this week, I had someone speak to me about being too busy as an older person and taking on too much volunteerism. Then you have the other extreme where people, just what you said, are either licking envelopes or doing nothing. But, you know, I love Karen Drucker. She has a song called If Love Is Why I'm Here. And If Love Is Why I'm Here, I'm a channel of love, and then let me give and then receive. And I love that, let me give and then receive. And I think real volunteerism is when we're also receiving something in return. So, you know, finding something that is meaningful for us. You know, I was a volunteer for hospice for 15 years, and I loved it. And it's just, you know, I'm comfortable being with dying people, but I learned so much from them. And actually, one of the big things I learned is that I used to be terrified of death, and I am no longer afraid of death. I have this view of death now that is very comforting for me. And seeing how people can die peacefully, you know. So, but I think if everyone could volunteer for something that gives other people life and gives them life, we would have a transformed planet, a transformed world, truly. But it grieves me when I see people only concerned about their own life, you know, just their, what can I do for myself only, rather than how can I also be generative. I think generativity is, successful aging has to involve generativity, and that is, how can I contribute in a way that's life-giving for myself and for other people so they can carry on? And I so admire people that work with young people, you know, whether they're going to a school and reading to young people, or they're being, you know, an ESL teacher or something like that. You know, there's so many ways, and you can't wait for it to come to you. You've got to go out and look for it, you know, and you don't have to look very far to find something
really
that
don't.
Can be.
Yeah, that can be part of your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, again, I'm going to stick with the practical here for a second.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I volunteer, it's funny that you mentioned children, for kids who've lost their parents early in life. I'm a grief facilitator.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a grief facilitator for them because it happened to me. So one place you could start is what counts to you. I was listening to one of these voicemails I was holding online to a financial company, and they were touting their financial planners, and they said one of them had started a foundation for kids who lost a parent in college and couldn't go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said it's because of what happened to her. So look first to yourself. What happened to you that you would like to fix? If that doesn't work, volunteermatch.com. I mean, there are websites for meeting people. There's websites for volunteering and matching yourself up with the volunteer organization or cause of your choice. And it does make an enormous difference in your life.
Yes.
Now, we have a couple of minutes, and I don't want to take them. I want to throw this to you for a moment. I want to go back to fly while you still have wings on this. With your mom, in your everyday life, you said that she imparted wisdom because you were able to talk with her. Just give us an example of that.
You know, one of the examples I would give is that my mother was very energetic, alive, productive. I mean, she was just a vibrant woman. She loved life. And then she had a couple of heart attacks, and she went into this depression. I had never known my mother to be depressed before. It was horrendous to see her go through that for, 6 months to a year. And you know, she was a changed person, and so I was with her in that. But one of the times that we had this marvelous conversation was after, kind of toward the end when she came through that, and she stayed with my sister for a while. She couldn't stay alone, and they were both at work, my sister and brother-in-law, and so she was she would stay all day. She'd go out on their sun porch, and then when she came back to her condo, I was visiting her, and I said, Mom, what was that like for you? Because I noticed that she had moved through her depression. She was so in harmony and just peaceful, and she was so different. And so we had this conversation. I said, what happened? And she said, you know, I just sat on that sun porch, and the sun was on me, and I had all that time to myself. And I thought, what is going to become of me? And I was like, wow, my mother did not talk about her inner life that much. And so I just said, well, what do you think, you know, will happen with you? And so we have this conversation about...
And we're going to take a little bit of a break right at this point. We're going to come back and let him hear exactly what you said. Then I'm going to give you a punchline, something I find very important. I'm going to be just serious about it, so that we'll be back. Okay, so obviously we're going to start the next one with that conversation. Now, I can't believe this. We're on the last segment. I had like 80 other things on my list here. All right. Okay, so because it's the last segment, is there anything that you would like to cover? We're gonna start right in with you, with your mom's words and what it meant to you. But after that, I have a lot of things. So
you go ahead with what you have. I'm fine.
Good.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I won't make it that one. I won't make it mysterious. Is you're thinking about how men and women approach aging differently?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sue. Okay, we are ready.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, once again. This is Adrienne Berg. I am totally taken aback that this is our last segment with Joyce Rupp. She is a Catholic nun. She is an author of numerous books. She is also an author of How-To's for Spiritual Progression on your own or in groups. Please look all of this up at Amazon. You will not be sorry. It will make a big change. But when we last left her, she was giving us, I call them punchlines, they're spiritual revelations, I guess, that you get from somebody else, usually somebody you love or respect, that really informs your life or changes your life. And in this case, she was talking about her own mom. She's written a book about it, too, she's written a book about everything. But Fly While You Still Have Wings, what a wonderful title. Perhaps it was even inspired by this conversation she was sharing with us. So, Joyce, go ahead. Your mom went from a depression to a lot of equanimity, and you were asking her, how did that happen? And what was her response to that?
You know, her response was that she was honest about what was happening to herself, about her impermanence, about her mortality. And then she, you know, came to terms with that. And she said, you know, I'm just at peace. I'm ready to die. I'm ready to live. And she was ready to live. I mean, she had COPD. She had degenerative disc in her back. She couldn't walk well. And 3 days before she died, someone said, do you want to go to the casino? And she said, yeah. And she did.
Well, you know, that actually leads me to what it did for you. Did you begin to see the world differently?
Yes, very much so. You know, my whole notion of death now is that, you know, I have a love relationship with the earth. I love creation, nature, and I just think now, you know, as I'm beginning to have less energy, and that I think Earth wants our bodies back. Earth has loaned our physical self to us, and so I think that whole thing about gravity and things falling toward the earth, and I think it's just so natural. And I think at the same time, my spirit's saying, free me up. You know, I've been really good to you, and I've been working through your physical self for so long, and so I'm pretty much at peace with that now. I don't know. You know, we never know when we get to that point how we'll be. But right now, and a lot of that I learned from my mother's equanimity, but I also saw how she had to struggle with it for a while. And it isn't just something that comes right away. You know, it's like being in a chrysalis, you know, from the caterpillar to the butterfly is quite a process, and it's dark in there. So, but I'm at peace. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going the other way. With peacefully. You know, I think you said the earth wants your body. The earth took one look at my body and said, I don't want it. I don't want it to be part of it. And therefore, I honestly goodness. I do everything. I will not go quietly into that good night. If there's a supplement to be taken for usefulness, I'm there. So you should know.
I got
that.
It.
So that's
old and bold, you are.
Old and bold. And that's my mom. That's my mom.
Yeah.
You have to grow old, but you don't have to age. She was one of those.
Mm-hmm.
4 miles a day, let's go for a walk.
Yeah.
So that's absolutely true. But I have I promised a punchline, and this punchline is very different. You'd think it's not spiritual, but it is. I'm explaining to everybody that I just came back from Egypt. It was a very big trip. Many years ago, I went to Australia, and I was working. I was lensing or looking at a trip for a big company to see if it was good for older people. And on this trip was somebody who I recognized had Alzheimer's. And she was with her niece, and it was an early stage. And I was bold, and I did ask her, how is it to travel with Alzheimer's? Do you have any suggestions for people?
Mm-hmm.
She looked right at me, and she said, take the hard trips first. And I always remember that. And I have always taken the hard trips first. And for me, it's been an ambassadorship to the world, for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say that it's a metaphor also. Do the hard things first.
Yeah.
If it's talking to your parents, if it's talking to your spouse, if it's going back and making a new relationship with your kids who you didn't talk to for who knows how long and for what stupid reason, just do the hard stuff first.
Now it gets easy.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Now, again, with so little time, about 3 minutes left, I did want you to expound on women and men aging. And we could do a whole show on it, but I know you have an interesting take on it.
Well, first of all, I just remember, and this is not my quote, but it's so true, that as people get in the later part of life, women grieve and men marry. I think that's one of the differences, you know, is that women are more relational naturally, and they have women friends, and they have a lot of support in sharing and talking and so forth and being with others who are, you know, in kinship. And I think that men are naturally more isolated. They don't as easily talk about what's going on within, and so they seek out someone they can marry and they can, you know, go on with their life kind of thing. But it's much more than that. Like recently at one of my retreats, I noticed a woman who was probably maybe, I'd say, 65-ish, and she had a huge loss of hair, partially bald, and it could have been from medication or something, you know. But anyway, I looked at her, and I felt such compassion, and I thought, you know, if this was a guy, you know, men go around and they lose all their hair, and people just say this is the most natural thing in the world. Women do that, and people are aghast, you know. It's just the whole external part. I think, you know, we accept a guy with gray hair. We, you know, women, you know, dye your hair so you look younger. There's a whole different approach, I think, to aging in a lot of ways between men and women. And so I think you're right on in bringing up that topic. How do you see it?
Well, I see it that a little bit differently. I see that women age much better. We do have a lot of community. We go places together. We're extremely proactive, and although we don't have strength physically as much as men naturally, we have more stamina. So stamina sometimes is more important.
I agree.
Yeah, when you get older, sometimes stamina is more important than strength. And I know the statistics. Other than certain kinds of teenagers, men over the age of 74 have more suicides. They get depressed because their self-image has been one of work and productivity. And women's self-image has been different, as you said, from the very beginning. The ability to relate and the ability to have compassion and see things differently. Just your own journey that you took that showed.
Well, and men don't express that, what's going on inside, nearly
as well as
women. And when
they
you hold it in, it creates more illness. So.
It does. And now, as we always say, thank you to our guests and for everybody else. Get out there, kids, and make it happen. Wow. Isn't that great? It's such a good show. It will pack it up really beautifully.
Adrienne, I have a monthly e-newsletter, and I'm going to put your blog on there for people, have them go to it. Just mention the you know, your program and that. So I just want you to know that, and when it will air and so forth. I'll put that out early next week. So.
Okay, so that's wonderful, and I appreciate it. The blog, if I can, I'll send you a link. That is an actually published.
Mm-hmm.
You saw, I don't know if you saw it. The real blog, the Aging for Beginners.
Mm. I haven't seen that. No, and if you could send that, that would be wonderful.
I'll send you the link. Aging for Beginners is published by a publisher. It's not my. It's my blog.
Okay.
But
uh-huh.
you have to have the link, and I really appreciate it because that's what we're promoting. Now, at the
Definitely.
Same token, what happens is we promote you
mm-hmm.
on the on our website Wednesday. Your
mm-hmm.
show will be archived. You'll be on the front page. Of course, it'll be heard this Sunday on air.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
after that, a lot of people want to hear it either online or through an app or whatever. So that'll
mm-hmm.
be on the front page of our website. And if you want to give us any information on getting your newsletter, we'll put that on
mm-hmm.
the front page of our
mm-hmm.
website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
otherwise,
and they can register on my home page of the website. So
okay,
mm-hmm.
great. So we'll be writing that.
Adrian, you'll send me the blog, the URL for the blog, and then also will you send me the link for people to listen in to the interview?
Yeah.
Okay,
absolutely.
Good.
Okay, and then you'll have that by Wednesday because that's
okay.
In other words, they
that's
listen
perfect.
Live.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
you may even have that in a minute. I don't know. That's up to Stuart. So,
uh-huh.
a link to how
sure.
people can listen to the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And also to our website where it's going to be archived. Okay? Great. Perfect.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you again, Adrian.
I
love
up.
Talking to you. I really meant that. I wish I'd been with you in Egypt. I would have been quiet and just been with you.
It would have been really wonderful. And, you know, who knows? You never know. Okay,
that's
I can't
right.
hang up because I break the radio connection.
Right.
So thank
yeah.
you very much.
But thank you. You're welcome. Take care. Bye.
What's happening is she's putting show. The link by Avis Beginner blog. It's record. The this talk or whatever, and then the link to her when she's on the web page. I probably know it's Adrian. I just called you in between shows. I'm on the radio, so don't call back for another hour, and then I'll keep trying to find you. But if you want to call at like 10 o'clock or so, that would be perfect. And we'll get together. Thanks. So let me ask you something. Radio in a minute, so I'll be back.
first of all, the door looks wonderful. Thank you. Very good. Okay. So on the window. For the plumbing. Right. Plumbing. So that's wonderful. So can you do the work? Yes. Good. Good. So how do you want to do this? We have to get permission from the building. And to do that, we have to get his license number and certificate of insurance.
Okay, she's on the other line. She'll be with you in a few seconds.
Thank you, Stuart.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for being our guest.
Yes. Yes. I need the price, of course. Which will help. Which you now know. That'll be okay. So, yeah, that's good. So,
hello?
Hello.
Jane? Hi, Jane. Are
yes,
you with us?
Yes, it is.
Hi. Yes, I am. We're not on the air yet, and I apologize. We are redoing something, and we needed a plumber. He called us.
Oh, dear.
When the plumber calls, you have to answer. That's my motto.
Absolutely.
So, first of all, thanks for being with us. We're going to have a great hour. It's actually a little less. So let me tell you how it works. You'll hear some music. I'll be introducing you. I will ask you your first question, which we'll talk about in a minute, and then we'll just talk. We have four segments. They're fairly long, 8 to 11 minutes. You get a chance to say anything you want to say. We have no holds barred on this show. We're certainly going to talk about your book, Soul Selfish, and where they could get it. And if you have a website, we'll promote that. And
yes,
then
I
have a very good... Yeah, great. So I'm going to ask you, you'll tell. And then we're going to go through all of these things that are on your list. What a good girl means, what does it mean, why isn't it something that you want to follow, what does it mean to be so selfish, and all that. But mostly, after the first segment, you will start to think about what you really want to talk about. At the end of each segment, we get a chance to talk again. And I'll say, all right, what would you like to cover next? Okay? So the first one's introductory. The only trick here is that at the end of each segment, they play music. I know when they're going to play, and you don't. So what I generally do is I will start to talk when I know that we'll get cut off by the music. But should you hear music and you're talking, just finish your sentence. That's all. Otherwise, you'll get cut off.
Okay.
It's very rare that
that
would happen, but it's possible. So, in terms of this, is Soul Selfish, The Awakening of a Good Girl, available on Amazon?
Yes, it is.
Oh, great. And any other place you'd like to promote where they could get the book?
Through my website directly.
Good. So we'll do that. Now, what I want to do, because it's an easy intro, is... just to ask you about your journey in writing the book. That will be the way I would love to begin this. Is there anything even in the first segment that you just want to be sure that gets covered?
Well, just that I started it when I was 78 years old, and that when I first heard the idea of writing a book, it seemed very strange to me because I had not seen myself as a writer, and so I was a bit resistant to writing. But finally, I sat down, and from the moment that I did, it was just so interesting to me and compelling to me that I just continued every day for 2 years plus. And that's how it began. But it was my first book and my first idea that I was a writer.
And when we go on to the second segment, we're going to be talking about what I really want to talk about, so you know, is the step-by-step formula, some of the things that you can help people with so that they can get this soul selfishness. But in the first segment, we're going to find out what it really means to you so they get it, because I know you don't want people to think this is about being a selfish person, just the opposite.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so we'll get that going. By the way, where are you now physically? Where am I talking to you?
I'm in Greenwich, Connecticut.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful place. My very best friend of 50 years is in Westport, but I know Greenwich pretty well. Okay.
Yeah, it's beautiful here.
Beautiful place. And is Weicker the way you say your last name?
Yes, it is.
Okay, great. All right, Stuart, we are ready to rock and roll.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, 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 and this is Generation Bold, the fountain of truth. The fountain of truth about what? The fountain of truth about aging. My name is Adrienne Berg, and I'm still astonished that it's the only syndicated national radio show on aging, because it's the only thing that every one of us anywhere all over the world is doing every single day. And you know what we do here for our followers? We have the best guests ever talking about the subject that dare not speak its name, and that is getting older. And today we have Jane Weicker. She is the author of Soul Selfish, and we're going to talk about what that means. But I love the subtitle, The Awakening of a Good Girl. The Awakening of a Good Girl. And, you know, we talk about New Year's, and I always believe that different times of year is New Year's to different people. For most people, by the book, it's January, right? For me, it's September, because I was born in September and school started in September. So that's the beginning of my year. But I know a lot of people who are telling me now that for them, the beginning of the year is Thanksgiving. They start to become introspective. They start to think about an attitude of gratitude, changing their life. What are they going to do for next year? And I think it's wonderful that we're here today with Jane Weicker. I think she's just in time to help all of us who feel that there's a little bit of an awakening beginning as the winter descends on us and we really get a chance to look inward a little bit. So thank you so much for being with us, Jane.
My pleasure, Adrienne.
And I want to delve right in. I want to delve into the title, because there's two interesting things here, Soul Selfish and Awakening of a Good Girl. So let's start with Soul Selfish first. What? Of course, the book is available on Amazon, so you can all read it. You'll know what Soul Selfish means. But what did it mean to you, and how did you get to that title?
Well, I do a lot of introspection, and every morning I have quiet time. And this particular day I heard that I was to write a book and that it was called Soul Selfish. And it was so shocking to me because, A, I didn't see myself as a writer, and, B, I couldn't understand what soul selfish meant, because to me those two words were not coherent. So I began to explore that, and I realized that there are two levels within each of us. And one is the ego level, which is the level from which we are conditioned. We are born into a family, to parents, which have had parents, who had parents and generations of conditioning according to the culture that we were born into, according to the era that we were born into, and the circumstances. And so all of that conditioning is what we're taught every single day, and all of that conditioning sits on top of the soul, which is the authentic place from which we are born. And that soul contains our spiritual DNA. It contains our personality traits, our talents, and our abilities. And that is always in us, deep within us. And so as we grow, and from toddlerhood into school, we begin to get conditioned. And we look to our parents because we are dependent on our parents for absolutely everything. And our parents send us signals of what they like and what they don't and what they accept and what they don't. And we begin to conform to our parents' desire for our need for their love and attention and protection. So our soul sits underneath all that, and we begin to develop roles, and those roles stand in the way of contacting our soul. My particular role was good girl.
Ah, the second part of the title, the awakening of a good girl. And did that mean that you were taking your cues from other people, or you were living your life to please others? What did good girl mean to you?
Well, I lived in a family where I was a second child. I had an older brother who tended to be quite mischievous and kind of a, quote, bad boy. And my mother was particularly emotionally vulnerable woman, and I really could feel her strain with him. And I, as a very young child, I began to see that the way to help her and to be sure that she'd be okay was that I be a good girl and not cause any more trouble, because my brother was causing so much trouble. So immediately, early in life, I began to focus outward as to what would please her. But it is always for every child, not just for myself, for every child, the direct need to be loved, accepted, protected. I mean, we look to our parents for everything from food to shelter to everything, because we can't do anything ourselves. We are not independent. We are totally dependent.
So in Soul Selfish, The Awakening of a Good Girl, the concept behind this, and I think this is something actually very easy to grasp, our primary need is to be loved, to be protected, and so we're going to do what it takes. It's very simple. We're going to do what it takes, and if it takes being a good girl or a good guy to make sure that happens in our life, we kind of make up. We make up as we go along at a very young age what we think somebody else wants. And the parents may not even want that, but we think that's what they want, and that's what we're going to be no matter what. Now, when you find that's contrary to your soul, when you were doing these, this thinking about it and the meditations about it, is it the book that got you to see the change that you needed to make, or did you make the change first and then write the book?
Oh, I made the change first and wrote the book. I began my inner process when I was 34 years old. I was such a good girl. Well, let me just tell you what a good girl I was, that I was married. I had four children. My husband, who was a successful Wall Street person, came home all excited that he had season tickets to the New York Football Giants. Would I like to go? Well, okay, it's a day out. I'll go. Sure. Well, we get to Yankee Stadium, which was the old Yankee Stadium, and we get to the end zone where our seats were, and when I sat down, I saw that there was a pillar bisecting the field. So I looked to the left of the pole, and I saw the field better, or to the right of the pole, and I saw the field better. But when I looked straight on, I saw the pole. And so I checked out with him what he was seeing, and his seat was much better. And such a good girl was I that I sat there and said, well, the game is much more important to him than it is to me, so I'll just sit in the seat. Well, I sat in the seat, and I sat in the seat, and I sat in the seat. And embarrassingly, I will tell you, I sat in that seat for 10 years. And I never asked to change seats, and he never asked to change seats.
You know, it's something that is a metaphor for so many things that we get stuck in and allow ourselves to do over and over again. And I'm fascinated by the fact that you were moved to write this book, but what the audience doesn't know, what our listeners don't know, and I deliberately kept this from them, is that Jane is currently 82 years old, and she wrote the book when she was 78. And the reason that I kept it from them, Jane, is that we talk on this show about every aspect of aging. One of them is voice aging. As being a radio personality since 1988, I hear a lot of voices, and I don't see the people, right? So I'm like Karnak. I can tell you how old somebody is from listening to their voice. But not you, my friend, not you. I wanted them to hear that voice, and I can tell, I'm speaking to my audience right now. Not one of you listening thought to themselves, this woman is in her 80s. Not one person. And when she said, oh, I was 34, I started my journey, they figured, so she's been on her journey for maybe 10 years, maybe. So that's what I wanted people to hear. And we've got about a couple of minutes. I'm going to wrap up on something. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the step-by-step formula for being soul selfish, forgetting these layers, almost these archaeologic layers that Jane explains to us so clearly of that we've layered over our soul because of who we wanted other people to think we were and why that can become a lie. And how we can get out of that circle. And I think, very importantly, why we should get out of that circle. So in this sense, I want to tell everybody, we have now been given a very great honor. I have a blog. It's with Bottom Line Personal. It's called Aging for Beginners. And it just began in August. And we discovered that we have 30,000 followers now. And therefore, it was requested that I increase the frequency. So we're now publishing twice a month articles on successful aging. And the last one I just did was Confessions of a Theater Addict. I sent it in yesterday. But in addition to telling you about my addiction, it also tells you how to get free and cheap tickets almost all over the country, which I think is very important. So there's a practical mixture. I'm working now on the travel piece, very similar kind of thing, but how to travel all your life, never stop traveling. We come back. We're going to go back with Jane Wyker, the author of Soul Selfish, The Awakening of a Good Girl. We're going to talk about the step-by-step method that anybody can use when they start to unravel, unpack what is hiding their soul, so they can become more soul selfish. Don't go anywhere.
Because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
So now you see how it goes, and now we can really rock and roll. And we're going to start right away with anything you want to say about the step-by-step formula. And I do like here, this is on the list that was sent to me, why being a good girl or a good guy is a total lie. I think a lot of the stuff that we perceive us, or we want others to perceive us as being, can be a total lie. Doesn't only have to be good girl and good guy. So I think it really will resonate with everyone. Okay? But we're going to start with the step-by-step. Is that all right with you?
Sure.
Okay. Stuart, we are ready.
Think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, 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 this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold. As we get old, we become bold. Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And we're here today with Jane Wyker. She is the author of an important book for all of us. It's called Soul Selfish, The Awakening of a Good Girl. You can get that on Amazon. We'll also give you a website that you can take a look at as well. And we're going to talk about a step-by-step formula for becoming soul selfish and unbinding yourself from some of these self-imposed restraints. Jane, before we do that, can you tell everybody your website, though?
Yes, it's Jane Wyker, J-A-N-E-W-Y-K-E-R.com. And on that website, you will also see a quiz which will ask you to see how soul selfish you are. In other words, how happy you are and in what places in your life you are happy and in which places in your life you would like to become happier.
Yeah, so a step-by-step formula for being soul selfish is really a step-by-step formula for becoming a happier person. And we talk about that a lot. We talk about studies that show that as you get older, you can be happier. I mentioned my blog. There's one article, Are You Old Enough to Be Happy Yet? So let's talk about the step-by-step formula idea that you have in general terms for us to get our mind around it.
Well, the first step is to understand that life is an inside-out process, and most of us are looking outside for love. We're looking outside for recognition, as we did when we were very little. And the most important thing to see is that you are your first and most important relationship, and that the more that you take care of you and the more that you know who you really are and the more that you let go of who you really are not, the happier you're going to be, because inside of you is this soul that wants to bloom and blossom and become into the world, but it has a whole layer on top of us, on top of that soul, that is our conditioning. And it is so important to understand that every day, day by day, you will have experiences, some of which make you feel wonderful and happy, others which are threatening or scary or hurtful or make you angry, and that we have an emotional guidance system within us that tell us what suits us and what doesn't. And when we begin to pay attention to that emotional guidance system, we begin to learn more and more who we are.
Now, in doing that, let's again go back to being the good girl or the good guy. When you did that, you thought, gee, you know, this goodness is kind of a lie. And you use that word. I didn't use that word. It's a strong word. Do you think that our cover-ups, we'll call it the soul cover-up, generally is a lie? Or do we actually become that?
We become that lie. And it's not only good girl or bad boy or good boy. There's also brain. The people who are particularly intelligent and do well in school identify themselves as a brain. Or people who are very athletic and get a lot of acknowledgement for that will see themselves as a jock. Or then there's the artsy person who is, you know, very artistic and sees themselves as very artsy. And they see just that one part of themselves and identify that one part as the reason that they are important or lovable. Because basically what we're all looking for is love, not realizing that that love needs to start with self first.
And we're speaking here with Jane Walker. She is the author of Soul Selfish, and she's done a tremendous job in unpacking some of these burdens that really, at our ages, it's about time that we get rid of. And one of those things related to what you just said, where we self-identify or we label ourselves something and we think that's why we're important, is youth and beauty. You know, there are women and men, less men, but it's happening now too, in the millennial generation, that define themselves by how they look. And the big problem with that is they're definitely going to look different. As I say to my daughter who likes a tattoo, just make sure it is in a place where it's not going to sag, and it's all going to sag. So you do change physically, and we have this culture of youth and beauty, and how do you unpack that? How do you get to the point where you still have the fun and the happiness if you've self-identified from a physical point of view and you're aging?
Well, it's the same thing as if you're identifying with yourself as an artist or an accountant or whatever you are, that you're not really seeing who you truly are. You're not seeing the breadth of who you are and the beauty internally of who you are and the gifts that you are, because you're so limited by that. And one of the most important things that I do every day is I take time every morning, 15, 20 minutes, to just listen to what's in my mind. And some of the things that are in my mind are wonderful about the day before, and some of the things are not. And so that I need to look at and clean out that which is not happy, and explore it and see what that means, or see what changes I need to make, or whether I need to have a conversation with someone about some unfinished business. So it's very, very important to look within. That is where your happiness lies. And it's like your soul underlies this layer. It's, if I look outside as I'm speaking to you, I see a gray sky. And above that gray sky is a sun. But I can't see the sun because the cloud cover is too thick. Well, when we have internal cloud covers of emotion that we have not been willing to address or to release, we are limited in the amount of radiance of our inner sunshine.
You know, when we return, we're going to talk just about that and how spirituality can help. In fact, you think that spirituality can help life become fun, which is generally an oxymoron. We think of spirituality as something good, but we rarely relate it to fun. We're going to talk about gracious youthfulness, something that you talk about a lot and in fact are, because that's really what successful aging is all about. It's not just about, and part of it is how you look and feel, no question about that, but today, with the cosmetic industry being one of the billion-dollar industries we have, successful aging is often defined very externally. And you, Jane Walker, are talking all about the internal, and it's very, very refreshing, and it's very doable. I have to warn people, because I'm somebody who believes in looking good and looking into everything that's on the market and so on, but it is terribly impermanent. That's just external, and it will change constantly. The work that Jane is suggesting is permanent. It makes a difference every single day. We come back, we're going to talk about how to get to that stage. From where the layering has taken place, we understand it's to get approval, it's to love of others, it's protection, it's what other people said we were good at, and it's easy. It's very easy to label ourselves, as Jane says, as a jock or the brain or the beauty or the helper or the good girl, and then live into that. It gives us a pattern. But we want to break the pattern. It gets a little harder.
You may
and we'll talk to Jane about how that's done.
It, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da.
Okay, so I would like to start with the idea of spirituality and what you mean by that and what you mean by it could be fun again. But in addition to that, what else would you like to cover from that point of view about what we do next now that we've kind of accepted the fact that we'd like to make an internal change?
Well, let's talk about spirituality. I believe that we live in a very beautiful universe that is all goodness and that we can receive that support and guidance if we become quiet enough and still enough to hear it. And unfortunately, most of us spend so much of our time externally pleasing others or trying to impress others or trying to get something with or from others that our focus is so external that we don't have the energy or the focus to be internal, which is where happiness lives. And
so
the more that you know your...
Okay, wait, we're
going
to go on the air there because we're going to do that exactly what you said. I will like to ask you, but I won't if you don't want me to, whether you think it's cultural. In other words, we talk about different things in terms of Buddhism and Asia and different cultures, whether we this busyness or this need to be busy or external, if you think it is cultural or you think it's across the board. So I'd like to get your opinion on that. That'll be a question I'll ask. Is that okay?
Okay.
Stu, we are ready to go.
may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, cause I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, 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 this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And we're here today with our guest, Jane Wyker. She is the author of Soul Selfish, The Awakening of a Good Girl. You'll find that on Amazon, but you'll also find on her website, Jane Wyker, that's WYKER.com. And as always, it'll be on the front page of our website, GenerationBoldRadio.com, so you'll be able to, if you don't have a pencil and paper, JaneWyker.com. I wish she has a quiz for you as to whether or not you are soul selfish, and that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. And she's explaining to us that we have to unpack some of the layers that have been there for many, many decades, maybe from the time we were very young, as to who we're really not, but we have reasons that we want other people to think we are. And one of the ways we can unpack that, she calls spirituality, and I want to throw this to you, Jane. We talk about spirituality on this show a lot. Last week we had a Catholic nun who was an author of many, many books specifically on compassion and spirituality. But for you, it is almost a process. And that's what I thought was so important. Tell us what you mean about spirituality and why it's kind of hard for us to get to that stage.
Well, what I believe is that deep within us is this soul that we're born with that is part of the whole universe and connected to the whole universe, and we are connected to each other on this level. And that once we can connect with this level within ourselves, we connect with other people in a very different way, in a very respectful and loving way, and we connect with our environment in a loving way, and we connect with our work in a loving way. And that inside of us is this level, and that the work is to be able to connect with and contact that level in as much of our lifetime as we can, as much of our days as we can, our hours and our minutes as we can. And in order to do that, we need to see, well, what interferes with that? And the way that we do that is by looking every day at our day, and how did our day go, and where did it go well, and where did it go with stress, and what was that stress about? Because our beliefs and thoughts create our feelings, which create our choices, which create our actions. So that it all starts inside, yet so many of us are looking outside for that answer. And the answer is inside.
You know, during the break I asked Jane if it would be okay for me to go into a cultural issue. When we talk about these things, if we talk about meditation, if we talk about listening to music, we often get involved with protocols, ways of getting to those feelings and those basics that come from a different culture, whether it's Buddhism, whether it's Asia, whether it's just usually isn't the go-go American way. So I don't know what your take on is this, whether or not this is a cultural thing that we're just always so external, or it is across the board. And whether you think getting older helps us to stop, or does it make no difference at all in terms of our age if we're not going to be concentrating on it?
Well, there are people who are spiritually inclined when they're very young, and there are people who are not spiritually inclined when they're very old. It's a choice. It's a choice that we make. It's a choice that we go to trust that there is a power, that there, whatever we call that power, universe, God, whatever we call that power, that there is a power that connects the entire universe, and that we're part of that. We're an intrinsic part of that. And each of us is. So that in order to do that, we need to look at the ego in ourselves, the conditioned place in ourselves, which is the barrier to that, because we all want to be special. And in being special, we're very competitive and we're very separating. While when we're coming from our soul, which is the spiritual level of ourselves, we are all connected. And so what is good for me is going to be good for you. It is good for me to be with you today. And I hope and my purpose is that it be good for every person listening. Because if I'm coming from my soul, then that's going to be good for you.
You know, the paradox of your book and the paradox of your thinking is, and I want to get very involved with this right now, is that when you're good to yourself, when you're compassionate to yourself, when you are soul selfish, you actually are better for the world, which is exactly the opposite of what we think of. We all have to give up something for ourselves to do something for others. And as a result of that, we probably do less for others when we think of it that way. And we talk here on this show because successful aging does have a very important volunteer component. One of the worst things that happens as we get older is that the world marginalizes us. So we often have to find a way to contribute. We're not working anymore. Nobody is looking at us for help. They're looking at us as if we need help, which makes me angry, but okay. That's why I'm doing the show in the first place. In fact, we have a lot of help to give. And I want to ask you about that. How do you get people to turn their mind around that being selfish, as you just mentioned it, in the context you're talking about, is actually good for others? It's the only way to be good for others.
Well, many years ago, I went to a talk where the speaker was talking about this very subject, and he put his hands in front of him, cupped like a beggar on a street, and he said, "Alms for the poor, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. Will you fill me? Will you fill me? Will you fill me?" And that is the space that many, many people, I would say probably most people, come from, where they do not see the richness inside of themselves because they're so focused externally. And my idea is that the more that I have focused internally, the richer my life is internally, and then it is so rich that it overflows externally. So I had a really hard childhood. I had a really, really difficult first marriage, and I had a very difficult divorce where it was financially very, very much a struggle. And my life today is beautiful because I have learned through the process, which allowed me to have the strength to have that divorce, to build a life of work, of play, and a marriage of almost 33 years that is so beautiful. And it all came from my inner focus and clearing out all those fears, misbeliefs about myself and about the world, and to begin to experiment and explore and have the strength to move myself from inside out into the world. Now, when I'm going to the world from an empty place, then I'm looking for them to fill me. And that just doesn't work.
It doesn't work, and we know that. And what is the most wonderment for me of aging is we get to a time when, no matter what, we have some quiet time. What makes me sad is how many people despise that quiet time. I have to tell you that when I meet somebody who's retired, the first thing they tell me is how busy they are. Busy, busy, busy. In fact, I one of my blogs is, how about bliss instead of busy? Because they're busy at what? At filling up their time with external things. That sound good, by the way. They sound very, very good on paper.
Mm-hmm.
It really looks good, right? So they're very busy looking good, but they're not busy feeling good. And when we come back, I do want to go to a phrase that you've used, and it's a new phrase for me. I love it. It's called gracious youthfulness. And it's a far cry from trying to look young or be young or pretend you're young. I'm beginning to, at first, Jane, I have to tell you, I loved the phrase. This is the truth. 60 is the new 30, or 70 is the new 40, or all the new, right? And then I thought, why do I want to be 30? I hated being 30. It's horrible. What? I was depressed. I had a child. I had postpartum depression. I was fat. I mean, who needed that? That was terrible. I don't want the new. Give me the new 60. Give me the new 70. And in your case, give me the new 82. I don't want to be the new 30. But yet, I have to admit, I want youthfulness. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to age, but I don't have to get old. And that's kind of the motto here. So when we come back, more words of wisdom from Jane Walker, the author of Soul Selfish, The Awakening of a Good Girl. I know you're going to find it easily on Amazon. You'll also have a take a quiz to get yourself involved with this kind of inner journey. To see how soul selfish you are by going to Jane Wyker, WYKER.com. And as always, this is the kind of show that people like to share with others. So don't forget that if you go starting Wednesday, if you have a friend who cannot hear this at any of our radio stations, they can do so with our app, Newscoat app, or online.
Doesn't bother me, not
we'll
even
be right
a bit, because I am happy. And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Okay, so we have gracious youthfulness as our next topic. And again, it's unaccountable, but it's the last segment. But how many minutes is this segment? So it's 8 minutes. So it's about the same as we've been doing. So in addition
okay.
to. Yeah, in addition to gracious youthfulness, because it's the last segment, just think for a minute, is there any other topic you want to bring out?
Well, in this gracious youthfulness, I would like to bring up the topic of forgiveness.
Ah.
Because I think that's so much of what keeps us stuck, are grievances
okay.
and grudges that are old. And
got
so
it.
I think forgiveness is a very, very important part of the, of graceful usefulness.
Stuart, we are ready.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy. I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is the only, and to me this is amazing, syndicated radio show on aging in the United States. And because we have so many guests from all over the world, it is heard online or through the Internet or through our app, I should say, a mobile app, in many, many countries. It's very easy to find us every Saturday night, we're on actual broadcast radio stations. Every Sunday morning at 10, we're on broadcast radio stations. We are always accessible on your mobile devices at BizTalk, and that's a free app, or starting Wednesdays after each of our shows, as we'll have here with Jane Wyker. The entire show is archived on our website, so you can see the list of our radio stations, the appropriate way to get a free app, or just listen online at our website, generationboldradio.com. Now, Jane has been talking about us becoming a soul selfish. It's been very clear that it's a journey. It's something you have to awaken in yourself, just like her title of her book, Soul Selfish, The Awakening of a Good Girl. It's been very interesting to everybody, I think, listening, that if you heard that Jane is 82 and you would never know it, it just doesn't come up in this conversation, except that it's on her resume. Otherwise, I wouldn't even bother you with the detail, because in her life, age is a detail. And that's because of a phrase that she uses called gracious youthfulness. And I want to throw that to you, Jane, to tell us what that means to you and how we could get some.
Well, to me, the only time that we have is now, and whether we're 26 or 52 or 73 or 82, the only time we have is now, the only day we have is now. And how do I want to make this day the best day that I can make it? And that is just the way that I live my life. And so whether it's continuing my tango lessons or whether it's travel to the Canadian Rockies, which I just returned, or whatever it is, that this is my life and how can I fill it with as much pleasure and satisfaction and generosity and love and contribution. And so that's how I wake up every morning. And I don't know how many days I will have on this planet. all I know is that I have today, and today I'm here with you and really enjoying this conversation.
And, you know, one of the things that that you mentioned, too, when it comes to gracious youthfulness is the area of forgiveness. And you said this to me during our little break. And what I didn't say to you, well, and I discussed it last week on the show, is that my personal current journey is one of self-forgiveness. I don't have a lot of problems forgiving others. I have terrific problems forgiving myself. And that's a tough one. But I know that forgiving others and grudges is something on your mind. So let's hear about that and how it stops people from being youthful if they're just carrying that around with them.
Well, anything that we're carrying around that's unhappy is going to add to the amount of unhappy baggage that we're carrying around. And the more unhappy baggage that we're carrying around, the heavier we're going to be in our energy. What we want to be is light and filled with sunshine and radiance. And the more that we hold on to this, what I call emotional baggage, the heavier and more stooped and dragging we are going to be. So it is really our responsibility, if we want to live happy lives, to release that in ourselves which has not been happy. And forgiveness is part of that process. In addition to emotional release, forgiveness is part of that process. And when I say forgiveness, I don't mean to condone a behavior that has been harmful, but I mean that forgiveness is letting go, that there are things that have happened that have happened. They're done. They're over. There's nothing we can do about them except to let them go. And so when I was divorced and had this really difficult time financially, which was really very most unnecessary given the amount of finances available to the family, I saw that I was married to a man who was very wealthy, and I thought we were a wealthy family, but we weren't. And in years past, and I saw the value of that never in my life would I have become a family counselor. Never would I have become a parent educator. Never would I have gone to Fortune 500 companies to give parents on the job, new parents going into work for the first time who didn't know how to manage their work and family. Never would I have written a book. Never would I be on this conversation with you had I been given the financial resources that would have been available to me had it been different. So I have great value for that experience, even though I had great anger at the time. And so what I'm saying is that forgiveness is a letting go, a knowing that the more that I hold on to grievances, grudges, old stories that were unhappy, the more it's going to impact my life today from being a bright, shining light.
And, you know, it is a funny aphorism. My husband likes to say it. He says, being angry at somebody is like taking poison and expecting them to die. Because
yes.
Yes. Putting this poison in your body that takes away your ability to show your own light, and you think it's going to hurt the other guy because you're so angry at them. It is a really difficult thing that you're asking people to do, and yet if you take a look at Soul Selfish and the step-by-steps and the questions that you will have to answer for yourselves on Jane Weicker's website, janeweicker.com, you begin the unbinding process almost immediately, almost effortlessly. And I think that that's really important. It reminds me, Jane, of something that I do. I call it a trick, but we meditate once a week. I meditate many times, but once a week for 2 hours. My listeners know this, with a group. And I visualize something. Visualizations are an old, old, mm-hmm. new age kind of thing that started in the 70s, and you would visualize something. And I visualize the grudge. You just talked about a grudge. Or something that's really bothering me that I'm carrying with me, as if it's written on a sign, and the sign is on a hook. And during my meditation, I try to take it off the hook
mm-hmm.
and make it disappear. That's just my little trick, a little visualization, because it helps me determine what's bothering me, as you talk about how you have to be quiet in yourself to see what's going on. And then I write it visually, mentally, on a sign, right? And then I put on the book. And I took it off. So I thank you, Jane. And like everybody else, every single week, I'll say to you all, get out there, kids, and make it happen. Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for this.
This is a really great show. This is, as I did say, that this is a show that people are going to want to share. There's no question about that. And we're trying to set that up on the website now that people could also share the shows. So what we're going to do is, come Wednesday, after it's already aired on the stations, it's going to go on the front page of the website. And
this went 2 weeks?
Two weeks. And we could use a copy of your book. If you have if you could send us, Stuart, you seem to be listening. Is there a special pixel or whatever that you need for the book to put it on the front page? We need
you want an e-copy of the book? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Not an e-copy of the book, the cover. We want to put the cover on the front page.
Oh, sure. I have a photo of that.
Oh, you could definitely, if you want to send an e-copy, that would be wonderful. That's for me. I'll read it. But for everybody else, I do want to promote it, and I do want to have a copy of the front page of the book.
Okay, you have the cover.
Just the cover, yeah, because it'll be a little synopsis of you. It'll send
cover
them
photo.
To the archive
okay.
of your show. And it'll
okay.
say, here's the book, here's how to get it, and that kind of thing.
Do you want a photo of me as well?
Beautiful. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, because I think that's very telling. You know, that that when we're as we're aging, that we can still look and feel beautiful too.
Yeah,
and I think that's important.
I think it is too. And as I said, in terms of radio, the only way that we can see that beauty is not to see it, is to hear it in the voice. And it was wonderful. Your voice is wonderful, amazing.
Thank you. Well, yours is too, and your program is wonderful, and I will certainly let my friends and communities know about your show, and I thank you so much for inviting me.
Great. And, Stu, do we need anything? Are we okay?
Nope.
We're good. Okay. Thank you so much. Take care.
I have one question.
Sure.
How will I get this to download onto my website? Is it strictly from the Internet? Or do you send a recording, or how?
You answer that question. Did you hear it? I thought he was on. Stuart.
What?
The question is, how does Jane get the recording? Will you send a link?
She can download it as Wednesday on the front page.
Okay, so 2 weeks from this Wednesday. It'll be on the front page of our website.
1 week from this Wednesday.
One week. And you know what, Stu? Why don't we send an email?
Okay.
We'll send you an email
Hello.
With the link. Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Hello? Good. We're going to send you an email with the link.
Hello?
Stu, she's not hearing me.
She's
now
hearing
I'm hearing you.
Yeah.
Oh, good, 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 good.
Now
okay,
I'm hearing
good.
You.
Excellent. Okay.
So you're going to send me an email with the link?
With the link, absolutely.
Okay.
Okay?
At janewiker@aol.com.
Yes. We'll do
okay.
that.
Okay. Thank
we'll
you
do that
very,
right
very
now,
much.
Actually.
Okay.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Right.
You too.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Yep.